Okay, we are about to start topic about TURIX toolkit and virtual UM interface. So what is TURIX interface is, it was introduced a few years ago, I think a long time ago by OpenBTS project. And it's a custom interface between layer one and transceiver. I call it layer one because now it's not only base station, but OsmocomBB may also act like a layer one. And yeah. Basically, it assumes three UDP sockets to be used. Harit asked me not to call one of them control because it's already used. It's a TURIX control protocol. It's ASCII-based and looks very similar to HTTP protocol. You just send some response, for example, please tune to this particular frequency and you will get the response, and even the response code like in HTTP, but zero means okay. And there is also a clock protocol, which allows you to get clock indications from hardware clock indications. And the last interface is data, and here you send and receive uplink and downlink bursts. And what is TURIX toolkit? It's a set of tools I wrote in Python because I have been doing some development of OsmocomBB and TURIXCon. I will talk about this topic later. And I had to test because at that time we had no, we didn't support transmit capabilities in TRGSM, and I had to test something, somehow test anything I wrote. And this is why I written this, and I found out that it could be also very useful for different topics. For example, in general, it's, I'm to help with debugging of TURIX interface, and the first thing I wrote was fake TURIX, which allows you to connect OsmocBTS. It basically emulates transceiver. And it allows you to connect OsmocBTS and OsmocomBB together without actual radio hardware. So it's basically virtual UM interface because you're sending and receiving bursts here. There's also some supplementary tools for command ejection. For example, you can capture bursts on some interface, for example, between base station and transceiver. You can inject them, you can generate random bursts just for testing. And good news is that this part is more or less documented and now merged to the master branch of OsmocCon. Thanks to Harald for helping with this. And how can one use TURIX toolkit? It's as I know, it's now used by some testing setups in OsmocCon project, and in general, it allows you to learn and research JSON without hard. Yeah, I will try to repeat. And in the bottom of this picture, you can see the classical way of communication between GSM layer 2.3 application like mobile or CCCH scan with the firmware where Osmocon is like a proxy between serial port and layer 1 control protocol, which is carried over a Unix socket. You can also connect TTCN3 test cases to both Osmocon and TRXCon. And TRXCon is also the application I wrote. It implements some parts of layer 1, for example, like scheduling and burst coding and decoding. And then we get the most interesting part is here. We have fake TRX application, which emulates two TRX interfaces, one for Osmo BTS and other for TRXCon. And for Osmo BTS, you don't need any modifications because it's like a regular transceiver like Osmo TRX. And Osmo BTS doesn't even know who is it and so on. So yeah, you can connect them. You can inject some commands using simple tool called control command. You can, for example, generate random bursts and inject them, for example, rich bursts. And also one interesting feature I have is TRX sniff. It allows you to capture some bursts on the existing TRX interface record and then if you want to replay them using burst send tool. And my use case of this tool was that I had to understand how basically TCH half-rate burst encoding works. And I captured some flow of frames on some particular time slot and yeah. And this is how it works in more details. FXTRX is also acts like a simple clock generator and as I already told, control and data interfaces are ported. The status of this project is we now have some simple simulation and randomization capabilities of both timing of arrival and RSSI. We have support of burst capture, burst sniffing, and burst replay then. And yeah. The future plans are allow multiple base stations to work with multiple mobile instances. In this way, we will be able to simulate some load based, stress testing for base station or so on. And then, yeah. So, bit. Okay. Thank you for your attention and feel free to ask a question. This is a little story about my way to the Osmo DevCon. Yeah. And feel free to append your questions to the array of questions and I will try to find the answer for you.
Well, not a question, just some comment. I think for testing, there's much more that we can test using this than what we do so far. So at the moment, we use it basically just to generate valid messages, mostly signaling messages from the TTCN3 test case into the BTS, and then we check whether we receive it on the AVIS side and vice versa. And the other thing we test is, I think, timing advance and receive power.
Yeah, but it's not implemented as I remember for now.
Yeah, it's very basic there, but I think there's a lot of things that we can test, for example, also in terms of DTX testing, because it's very complex. I think the most complex state machine we have in the entire Osmocon project is AMR DTX in Osmo BTS. So I think there it could help us to really test all the different cases and see how the systems behave in all these different state transitions. So it's very useful.
Thanks.
It's a very easy question to answer for myself, but I'll ask it anyway. What is this CPU usage of the fact TRX, is it heavy on
CPU? I measure this, and on, for example, if you would use all time slots of a single base station, it will be on my CPU. It's Intel Core i5, I don't remember. It is about 30%, 13, yeah. Okay. Or about 10%, not too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's because there's no up conversion and anything like that, and no actual RF samples, but it's just the baseband burst bits. So it's basically the encoder and the decoder that are mostly the decoder, probably the Viterbi that's using the CPU.
Yeah, the main application of fake TRX, it simply receives UDP packages, changes a few bytes in header, and send them forward them to the BTS and vice versa. Not too much to do. If you want, you can use PyPy or rewrite it to C. It's not required, I think.
No, I mean, it's not the fake TRX. I think the question was more in general in the virtual setup, right? Where the CPU usage or fake TRX specifically, because... it's because the things that the TRX does are not done really here, right? It's the Viterbi decode and so on happens inside Osmo VTS TRX, and that's the same whether you have a real network or not. But all the signal processing at sample speeds, that is not done here in the setup.
Yeah, Viterbi decoding is also happening at TRX con application, but it's now we support some SIMD instructions and it works really fast. Any more questions? So if I have some time, I can. I would try to put one more small talk, and it is about GSM audio packet knife. Because it's also a little bit related to the work we did. If you... because I used this in Osmocom BB project, and there was some discussions about transcoding in media gateway, so probably it would help someone, I hope. Yes. So what is GAPK? Many people here asked me about this. What is these four letters? And it stands for GSM Audio Packet Knife. It was initially written by Sylvain. Okay, so I need to finish this. it supports formats encoding and decoding. For example, you can use AMR or GSM files in different formats. It supports classical GSM codecs like full rate, half rate, or AMR. Some work was done by Harald to make it support also. So you can use your audio subsystem on your PC to play and capture sound. And also some work was done by Harald to support RTP streams, but it's unfinished, I think. And the use cases of this tool is, for example, transcoding one audio format to another. I think it's kind of FFmpeg, but for GSM codecs, and you can perform transcoding between, for example, full rate audio into AMR. You can listen for real time RTP streams and do any transcoding if you want. And, what I would like to say about the previous state of the project is that it was just a simple command line tool, and there was no testing coverage. We only had some samples, which what we expect after conversation, and that's all we had. And we had no shared libraries, and it was a single binary, and it was not that useful for me personally. So here you can see the example how to, for example, convert one file to into another. And why not to turn this into a shared library? It's I think it's a good idea. And audio coding support, you can, for example, use this library for audio coding in OsmocomBB, a mobile application. You can, we are currently doing some work of implementing GRGSM blocks for GNU Radio to support audio coding for GSM. And it could be also used for Osmo Media Gateway to transcode streams. And probably someone else would like to use this. Oh. What was done by me is I created a new library called Osmo JPK. We just some work to put headers in common for Osmocom projects location. There is a separate directory Osmocom JPK. All symbols, all exported symbols have Osmo JPK prefix now. It's requirement. We have package config manifest, so you can easily compile your programs together, link against this library. And yeah, we use, now we use a Talloc subsystem for managing memory management, and we have some little bit better testing coverage, but not full yet. And what was changed is that JPK was renamed to Osmo JPK because many programs have this prefix, and it is linked against Libosmo JPK. Now we use Osmocom login framework instead of simple printf calls. And some basics about the architecture of Osmo JPK. It is it looks like GNU Radio flow graphs. So you just need to create a processing chain. It's called QI in terms of JPK. And they are not that complicated like you can create in GNU Radio, but you have only source blocks, processing blocks, and scene blocks. And that's it. There is no scheduler. You just need to iterate through the chain yourself. There is some API for that. And you can allocate a few processing chains if you want to work with them somehow. And yeah, here is some example how to create your own block, because for OsmocomBB I have some little experience of creating my own block. And I will show some simple example. So all you need to describe is how much data are you going to receive from different blocks. In case of source, it's zero. How much data are you going to pass forward to another block, and we have some internal state if you want to store something, for example, file descriptors or sockets in case of RTP. There is output buffer where should we write data we just finished, which we processed, and there are two or even three, I don't remember exactly, callbacks. One is Prots, it's just like working GNU Radio, and there is some destructor. If you allocate some memory, this function should be used to free it. And some meta information for logging. And here is a simple example of how to create your own block. This is file input. And what this block is intended for is it just reads some data from file and nothing else. And the first thing you need to do is to just allocate memory for processing item, and define the type of this block. It's a source block, and you can put some name. You don't have input length because it's, again, it's source block, and you have some output data length. And you just specify two callbacks, which the first one is like work function of in GNU Radio, and the last is destructor. And here is some example of how this prots function can look like. So you just read some data from file and put it into the output buffer, and that's it. It's pretty easy, and I recommend everyone to try to write your own blog for JAPK. And it's really easy to use this library because we have not that much headers. For processing queries and blocks, you have a separate header file for formats. I'm sorry, here should be codex. Yeah, for codex, you can use this header, and all symbols have some prefix, OSMA-JAPK. And yeah, thanks. Simple processing query to handle your questions.
I have a question, like, why not using GStreamer or FFmpeg, or, I mean...
I'm not sure they actually support all codecs of JSM.
But then again, if we're implementing them, why not implementing them there? And just...
It's just a simple project, and sorry, FFmpeg is too complex just to do some basic audio encoding, it's my opinion.
Okay.
No, I mean, one of the fundamental differences, I think, to a lot of the codecs that you find out there is, for example, that we have not fixed size of codec frames. So, especially if you think of something like AMR, I'm not sure. I mean, at least that was, I think that's the difference, but for sure something that can be looked at.
But I mean, if it even can, that's what I was going to say. I mean,
in formats we don't have fixed frames.
Yeah.
I mean, CBR is, sorry.
Yeah, like CBR is not the only way to do it, and like it's just many VBR formats out there, and FFmpeg perfectly works with that.
I mean, the reason I didn't use GStreamer is because if you look at the original source code of GAP, 95% of the source code is like completely codec specific and the actual stuff I would have needed to implement, and the framework part is like 100 line, and I wasn't going to introduce a dependency into GStreamer and glib and all the initialization code that I need to set up a GStreamer flow graph just to literally take, you know, the 26 byte or I don't remember how much and call one function and store the output. I mean, originally that tool was mostly because I was dealing with the, you know, the format that is generated by the Racal test set and the DSP API of the thing, where most of the stuff is not even codec stuff. It's reordering the bits because they managed to put all the parameters in, you know, 50 different fashion, basically every possible combination. Somebody used it, so yeah. It just seemed overkill, basically.
And I think another advantage of this, exactly why not FFmpeg, is it's much easier to embed this project, I think.
Yeah, well, FFmpeg is not that big either.
Yeah, probably we have...
You're kidding me, right? Well, if you compare it to these, of course.
For sure, you can compile it wherever, in any way you want. You can only compile some codecs that you need, exactly. Yeah, if you have some time. Yeah.
Except on Windows.
You have about 5 minutes, I think, and I'm going to try to show some real example of usage of the JAPK in OSMACOM BB, for example. Yeah.
Can I also ask, maybe
sure,
we can get together?
Free.
What was the status with ALSA and RTP streams? Like, would it be possible to capture RTP stream off the wire and play it through ALSA?
Sure, this is exactly what I'm going to show you. You can easily, you can try some simple live demo, I think. APK, we have more or less complete help for that. And for example, you can capture frames from ALSA. I think it's default. Just need to specify which device are you going to use for capturing. You need to specify the input format, and in this case, it's RAW frame format. It was somewhere, yeah, RAW PCM. And then you need to specify which codec are you going to use in which format to be more correct. For example, if we would like to use, I don't know, JSON full rate or AMR, write this to some kind of output file in temporary directory like A. It's just started and we can try to send something, say something here and it should capture. And now we can use the same tool to play this captured stream. If I didn't break anything, it should work. Unity input file. Unity input format, which we used. Used here, and the format we are going to convert it to the raw PCM back, and play to also sync, also, default playback device. Simple example of. I hear myself here, And here we have some basic integration of audio we demonstrated at the Congress. We are only able to normally decode downlink frames, but not uplink, because it's my bad. Because I initialized the JAPK library at the beginning of execution of a mobile application. And I should do this exactly when we start call and we finish call, but it was like a hack. So, I'm not sure is it. Yeah. Be somehow visible. Yeah, I will show this.
So, what's the idea then to use it with OsmoConBB, or like, do you have something in mind, or is it already working there? Or
yeah, I can even try to show this in action.
So while Vadim is preparing, so in OsmoConBB originally you could make voice calls, but the audio would actually be on the phone, right? We have MNCC in OsmoConBB, exactly. That's how Jolly did it. So the traditional way of using voice in OsmoConBB is then that you have the voice on the MNCC interface and you can attach LCR to it or something like that.
And this is exactly why I use OsmoNetB, because we have LCR there working at last. But until we repair support. And also here you can see the fake TRX in action. So we just start base station and we have our own virtual network. And we need to switch to mobile. Start TRX call, you start mobile application. Yeah, you, for example, I don't know. Better to show this. Again, we don't actually transmit anything. Virtual environment. We put some virtual SIM card. Is your money? And then we can try to test. This is exactly what I demonstrated at the Congress. I'm correct. And this is how it works together with OsmoConBB. Nothing special. We have some problem with uplink. For example, there is another number 993. And the problem is that we hear sounds from the past. When we started mobile, it already started to record the frames and put them to buffer. And we read them to. Probably sound of my keyboard and. Yes, from the past. Crazy. And yeah, that's all. If we still have some time, we show some source code, but I'm not sure we have. Yeah, if you have any questions, as usually, feel free to ask.